Got an old car? You can donate it, whether it's running or not, to the United Breast Cancer Foundation and save a life. They'll even come and pick it up for free. The United Breast Cancer Foundation has saved hundreds of women's lives through their free or low-cost breast screen exams. But now they need your help. The United Breast Cancer Foundation wants to save more lives through early detection by offering women free or low-cost breast screening exams. And donating your old car, SUV, or truck, whether it's running or not, helps pay for them. Plus, you get a charitable tax deduction. Help the United Breast Cancer Foundation save lives by donating your old car, SUV, or truck. Call now for free pickup. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. 800-245-0473. Call right now. That number again is 800-245-0473.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from the Arlington Chamber of Commerce. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company's John Yatman, AEG, Mike Rossnow, Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Julie Murphy, Sage Communications, Ken Tranquil, Verity Commercial, Matt Lesko, Lesko and Walderman, and Tim Young, Young Marketing Consultant. Les, can you give us a rundown on who we have on the show today?
Sure. We have Steve Cooper, partner and co-founder of Excella. We have Ken Kelly, president and CEO of Strativia, Kevin McDonald and Tim Kress-Spatz, co-founders at KitCheck, and Tom Matzey, president and CEO of Clean Choice Energy.
Let's get to know our first guest, Steve Cooper, partner and co-founder of Excella. Steve, what is Excella?
Well, Excella is a technology firm in Arlington, Virginia, right here. We have 275 employees. We're $65 million. We build custom large computer systems for federal agencies, commercial companies, and nonprofits.
How many partners do you have?
I started the company with three. We now have six partners total.
Uh-huh. And when you started with the two partners, what did you do different than the other partners?
Well, my specialty was focusing on exceptional careers for our employees, who we call Excellians.
And how many different schools did you? What was different about your schooling in the states you grew up in?
Yep. Well, until I was 10, everything was pretty calm. Grew up in Connecticut. Then the chaos started. I moved around from Connecticut, North Carolina, back to a different place in Connecticut. And then to Michigan, all before I was in 10th grade. So
I understand you went to six different schools in four different states as a kid. What do you think the effect of that was on you, especially considering your role now in the business?
Well, Herb, I was a small kid, so I didn't have sports, and I didn't have physicality in my favor. But what I did have to develop was a pretty sharp sense of humor and a quick wit real quick. Because when you're on the back of a bus getting to know people in North Carolina that you didn't know, you had to charm them fairly quickly.
Julie?
Right. So were there any specific challenges that you face moving all the time or on those buses?
Well, yeah. You get hazed kind of quickly. You got to learn how to navigate a whole new school, a whole new environment.
How's that having a positive effect on your business career?
Well, I think what it has done for me is it allows me to quickly relate to people, quickly empathize with where they're coming from, and find a way quickly to diffuse and disarm them.
Ken, what was your question there?
From previous conversations, I found it interesting you mentioned the word build a lot. You build relationships, build systems, build a company. Let me ask you, on how did building relate into your career?
Well, I don't know what it was, Ken, but whenever we moved to a new place, one of the first things I always did with newfound friends was build some fort in the backyard.
Did building a treehouse translate into building a business?
Well, you don't need a blueprint to build a fort, and I found you don't need a blueprint to build your own company either.
Oh, interesting. So the business plan is important, but really it's having the right instincts. Tim?
So harmonica, trumpet, piano / keyboard, what do those have to do with your business?
Well, a lot of people think technology is not a place where creativity lives, but I find quite the opposite is true. You bring the human side, creativity, imagination. That's what it's all about when you're trying to solve a problem with a computer system that many have tried to solve before and have failed at.
So you played those instruments. You're really finding a parallel between playing the harmonica and trumpet and building a business?
Yeah, you're improvising, but you're also following a script, and you're usually working in a band, a team of others, and you have to collaborate. You're not just playing solo on your own.
When you were a kid and you were in a band, what was your role in that team, in that band?
A lot of times it was organizing the band, finding the gigs, figuring out how we were going to do a certain song, who was going to take what solo.
Is that of any parallel to what you're doing nowadays in the business?
Definitely.
What do you mean?
Well, you know, a business is like kind of playing a jazz song or a blues song where you're all agreeing to follow a script, but everybody's got their own ability to improvise and bring their creativity, their imagination to each solo, if you will. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of structured improvisation.
Good, Matt.
Steve, you mentioned your relationship with your brother as a child. How does that impact your business today?
Yeah, you know, my brother was 6 years younger than me, so we were never in the same school. We were never going to the same things or with the same friends, and I really look back and I wish that I had kind of empathized with him and taken him under my wing more than I did. He has turned out to be extremely successful in Asia now, a place that I've never really plugged into. And so, you know, looking back on it, sure, I wish I had kind of empathized with him a little more and that we had been tighter growing up. Mm-hmm. We're good friends.
Who's got
now.
The next question?
You know, Steve, you mentioned that back when you were a kid, you got kind of put into theater early.
Yeah.
What did you learn from that, and how does that affect what you do today?
Yeah, theater is obviously an avenue for creativity, but it also is, like music, a place where choreography, memorization of scripts, and knowing the audience is important. And same in business. You know, your clients, your customers, and especially your employees are an audience, and you want to make sure that you are taking every moment, every opportunity to empathize with them and to know where they're coming from.
Julie, what are you thinking?
You know, I would argue that there's still a lot of shrewd and bullying practices in the business world today, so I'm curious how you approach those situations given what you experienced.
Yeah, confrontation usually doesn't work, and that is often our first instinct, but what does work often is approaching it with charm and disarming and humor and lightheartedness to try to realize at some level you're on the same, you're both human beings, and there's got to be some way that you can find to relate.
Wait a minute. I thought business was litigation and screaming and yelling and throwing things at people. You're telling me it's not that stuff?
Well, that's what happens when you're doing it wrong. I think.
Interesting. Tim, what are you thinking?
So you and your brother both ended up running companies. What about, you know, growing up, if you look back, would you have seen and said, yeah, this is what really gave us some keys?
Mm-hmm. Well, creativity, not following structure, and not being afraid to fail. You know, I've failed at a lot of things. I started a company, a venture when I was young called Mall Talk, where mm-hmm. we were putting...
So you're not afraid to fail, Tim? Matt, what do you got?
A lot of people that get bullied get a protector instinct.
Yep.
Can you talk a little bit about that and your role in the human resource side of the business?
Sure. I think that when you're inviting people to join your company, you want to make them feel welcomed and included, and you want them to not have to put on a mask when they come to work. You want them to bring their whole self to work, and to do that, you need to make sure everybody rolls out that welcome mat and that you engage them wherever they are.
Uh-huh. Mr. Trenkel, what are you thinking? What's on your mind?
Just going back to the building scenario, yeah. What are you building now?
Well, aside from building systems, we're always building new benefits, new experiences, new career ladders, new leadership positions within the company, finding ways to give people an opportunity for their outlet. You know, Excella, unlike other companies, we don't have a product. We take our mission from our clients, and we also take our mission from the careers that our employees want to have.
Mm-hmm. John, what do you got?
You've had a lot of experience now. What advice would you give your 10-year-old self right now?
Yeah, don't be afraid to fail, and don't, you know, it's rarely life and death, and people often don't walk out on that bridge because they're afraid to fail or they're embarrassed. And look, you're going to rack up failures no matter how hard you try to avoid them. So do it. Dare yourself to be challenged and to do something bold.
Mm-hmm. Julie, you have another question there.
So, what does success mean from you from here for yourself, your company, and moving forward?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we're 275 people, and Excella wants to look forward and say, give us your most difficult problem. We can solve it with technology. And to do that, we have to be bigger. We have to be more experienced in even more technologies, and we have to be more ambitious, and we certainly have to scale.
Where's this drive coming from? How young were you when this drive began to show up, Steve?
I guess it was, you know, moving around a lot, dreaming big. My first piano teacher was a great role model and taught me that every song, every note could be perfect.
Wait. Your piano teacher taught you what about business?
My piano teacher taught me. She also directed the choir at our church and was the organist, and I never heard her play a wrong note, and I never heard any performance that wasn't flawless. And so to me, it just inspired me to say, you know, you can take pride in everything you do from the moment you wake up in the morning. Why not?
And you learned this from your piano teacher.
That's right, Marilyn Johnson. Nobody's ever heard of her.
And Marilyn Johnson impressed you because she did thing. She performed with precision, and you're seeing that as a valuable asset in business?
Yes. People who take pride in what they do. If you're writing a line of code or designing an interface or a database, there's a way to do it, and you take pride in every moment of it. And you might have to stay later or argue a little longer, but that pride is what's going to make a great, perfect, elegant product that people are going to love.
So you care about what you do.
Oh, yeah. I love it, and I love when I meet a new Excellian who comes to Excella and wants to make their career perfect and exceptional, and we want to invite that.
Uh-huh. What's the website address for this organization, Excella?
Excella.com.
How do you spell that?
Excella.com.
We've been speaking with Steve Cooper, who is partner and co-founder of Excella here on Executive Leaders Radio, with my co-host Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, John Yetman, AEG, Mike Ross, now Arlington Chamber of Commerce, Julie Murphy, Sage Communications, Ken Trankel, Verity Commercial, Matthew Lesko, Lesko and Walderman, and Tim Young, Young Marketing Consultant. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. It's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, back in a moment, right after this break.
Whoa, nice interview.
Nice. And your name and organization is?
I'm Michael Ferber with McMillan Metro.
And what kind of stuff does McMillan Metro do?
We're a law firm that does commercial real estate, corporate and business, litigation, estate planning.
How large or how small is the firm?
We're 25 employees.
And what's your role in the firm?
I'm the managing partner and help run the commercial real estate department.
So what's the managing partner's role in the firm?
Create vision and growth for the firm. Always looking forward to see how we can get better, get bigger, and provide for our clients.
I understand something happened, or a couple of things happened in your childhood. What happened?
When I was about 9 years old, my mother had two brain operations within about a 6 to 8 month period. Shortly after that, my grandparents got into a car accident, so my grandfather had to live in our house for about a year, so it was kind of turmoil in the house as a youth for a number of years.
How do you feel about that? How do you think that's affecting you nowadays?
Caused me to be independent and have to kind of do things on my own.
Uh-huh. Go ahead. What else?
And so, you know, growing up as a teenager, always looking for jobs to keep me busy, involved in different groups, you know, so always being involved on my own and having to do things. And
how's that always finding something to do, always something to be productive? You're always productive. Your middle name is being productive, isn't it?
Yeah. So for our company, always looking to how can we add additional people? How can we add additional services for our clients? Always looking to grow and how we can get better.
Do you ever sleep?
Not much.
Yeah, it didn't sound like it. It sounds like, you know, those traumatic experiences from a kid really had an effect on you. I also bet you don't lose clients because you're looking around the corner for your clients too, aren't you?
Yeah, we're always involved, always being making sure we react quickly and they hear back from us right away.
What's your website address of your firm?
It's McMillanMetro.com.
Let me have that one more time.
McMillanMetro.com.
McMillanMetro.com. And your name again is?
Michael Ferber.
And you're the managing partner of McMillan Metro.
Yes.
And this has been your Business Spotlight.
If you're 85 or younger, would you like peace of mind and comfort for your family? We're Final Expense Direct with an urgent message for you. The average funeral today costs over $8,000, but the most you'll get from government benefits is $255. How will your family pay the difference? We can help. Our senior plans start as low as just a dollar a day and pay up to $30,000 for a funeral and other final expenses. Peace of mind is easy. There's no medical exam. You'll have lifetime coverage, and your plan can't be canceled as long as you pay your premiums. Call now for free information about our senior plans. Answer a few simple questions and receive approval right on the phone. Plus, call right now and we'll give you a discount prescription card for free.
Call 800-569-3414. That's 800-569-3414. Again, 800-569-3414.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-285-4765 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-285-4765. Again, 800-285-4765.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We'd like to introduce Ken Kelly, President and CEO of Strativia. Ken, what is Strativia? What are you guys doing?
Strativia is a technology and professional services provider. We support the government providing application development, information assurance, program support, and logistics.
How large or how small is this organization?
We're 140 employees nationwide, a little over $12 million in revenue.
Wow. And where are you from originally?
Born and raised in Washington, D.C.
How many brothers and sisters?
One younger and one older.
So you're the middle of three. All right. Who's got the next question? I think Matt?
Yeah, I was wondering what sports you were involved in as a kid.
As a kid, I grew up boxing as well as playing football.
Those are pretty tough sports. Can you talk a little bit about how that's affected you?
Sure. It taught me to go hard and fight hard and charge hard.
Mm-hmm. Tim?
So boxing, football, now business. What's the hardest you got hit?
Well, we started the company in 2007. We created a product called eFinancial Portals for banks and credit unions. In 2008, there was the banking bust. Our entire target market was falling and failing, so we had to pivot in the middle and begin to offer products and services to a whole different industry, including the federal government.
So you learned about getting back up as a kid with boxing and with football. You're using that in business. What was your role on the football team, by the way?
I was a nose guard.
What was the role of the nose guard?
Protect the quarterback.
Protect the, well, how's that fit into your business stuff nowadays?
Nowadays, I protect my people more so. I'm the president of the company, so I protect my people.
What do you mean you protect your people? What are you talking about?
Well, I assure that, you know, we're putting growth strategies in place to ensure that the company is around tomorrow. We've been around 10 years, but the goal is to continue to grow.
Julie, what was your question?
Yeah, I'm curious why you took on that position, or if there's anything that you observed or experienced that gave you this protective instinct early on.
Well, like I said earlier, you know, we got knocked down pretty early, so we learned to get up and we learned to fight.
Mm-hmm. And didn't you tell us there's certain things you won't do nowadays because you feel protective of your team?
You know, absolutely. You know, as a CEO of the company, there's a lot of things that rest on your shoulders, and things that happen from bungee jumping to simply going out and doing things that other people consider to be just fun, you can't do, because, you know, you have a lot of folks who depend on you to be healthy and to be safe, so can't take unnecessary risks.
So you're telling me that some of the hobbies you may have had, like bungee jumping or other things that might have been, whether it's motorcycle riding or whatever, it's like you're not doing it nowadays because you don't want to risk the welfare of your team, of your employees?
Absolutely. You know, Strativia is much bigger than myself. And so no bungee jumping, no speeding. You know, I'm driving, I'm doing a speed limit because, again, I recognize that, you know, careless mistakes can lead to my detriment. And my detriment can impact, you know, the more than 140 employees that we have nationwide.
Ken?
I'm curious on who are some of your role models as you've been growing up.
Sure, I have several role models. What to think of? You know, my father being my first role model growing up, Angelo Mozzillo in my early 20s, and even Reginald Lewis in my early 30s.
Mm-hmm. So what role did your dad have had in terms of influencing your protective instincts?
Well, my dad was a protector and a hard worker. You know, I saw from my dad growing up that, you know, a man takes care of his family. He goes out and works. He makes sure that the house is protected and taken care of.
How did you see that with your dad?
Well, my dad was an auto body painter, so I would go to work with him on the weekends, and on the weeknights I would see him come home dead tired. You know, he would eat dinner and fall asleep right on the couch. So he just worked hard. That was within his nature, within his DNA.
So what'd you pick up from that?
That you have to work hard. There's no getting around that. You know, to be successful in life, whether or not it's business, whether or not it's whatever your chosen profession, you have to work hard. You have to put in the work if you want to be successful.
Mm-hmm. What did you learn from Angelo? What was that thing about Angelo?
Yeah, so Angelo Mozzillo, he was a story of a hard worker. You know, his vision at a young age to start a Countrywide Financial and see it through and grow to a multi-billion-dollar-a-year publicly traded company.
So you met this guy when he was CEO of a huge company?
Absolutely. I was doing some work for my company. I was at Pepperdine University. He was a board member for the Graccidio School of Business.
Oh, wait a minute, but what was impressive to me is you told me you maintained a relationship with him where you guys would write letters and talk over the course of time. Why would he bother talking to you?
I think Angelo saw someone, he saw someone of himself and me, a young kid who was hungry, had some desire to go someplace other than where he was. I asked for his contact information. We agreed to stay in contact. Yeah. I wrote letters and he would respond.
The point is, yeah, he cared about you. He really he pulled you under his wing. It's interesting that you know, somebody as successful as that would really want to mentor and care about somebody else, but it sounds like you had the right stuff. John, did you have a question?
So Angelo gave you some great advice and took you under his wing. What advice would you give to somebody now that you're a CEO and if they were in the same situation that you were in?
The primary advice I would give today is start now. Don't wait till things are perfect. You know, I tried to wait till things were just right, but I lost time. You know, it would take me 5 years to start the business after having met Angelo Mozzillo. I should have started sooner.
Ken, what are you thinking?
Interesting how you're a risk avoider, but you started a business. Tell me more about that.
You know, when you dig deep, a lot of business owners I know are very risk adverse. They did jump out and start the business, but once they've started the business and they've garnered some level of success, they're very, very cautious. They don't do a lot of, they don't take on a lot of risky roles in general. So I think business owners or entrepreneurs, they take risks to start the business, but then once they start, they tend not to take as many risks.
Lester?
Yeah, what role did your wife play in encouraging you, supporting you, or basically telling you were crazy about doing this?
Well, my wife was very supportive from the very beginning. She knew that there was more to me than met the eye, and she believed in me. And we structured a plan such that we can do this together.
Mm-hmm. Michael, Tim, you guys...
So would you tell your kids to box?
No, I have two girls. So no boxes for them.
Uh-huh. Matt, you got a question there?
I sense this profound respect for your father, and I think it goes deeper than the hard work that he did. Can you talk a little bit more about your father's impact on you and your life?
Well, sure. You know, my father left Charleston, South Carolina for D.C. when he was 17 years old. As soon as he graduated high school, he saw there weren't many opportunities, and he got up and left. And that was a major risk for him to take at 17 years old, but it was the best thing he could have done. When I look at my uncles now, many of them are still in the same positions they were. They all look up to my father from having taken that risk and left Charleston, South Carolina, and built a really good life for himself and his children.
Is your father still around?
He is. He's very much so. My father got a chance to come to my company's 10-year anniversary in November, and between him and my mother, they were crying with joy because they saw what they did and what they instilled in me to get to this point in life.
How'd that make you feel?
It was a wonderful experience. We celebrated at the National Harbor at Sunset Room. More than 250 people came to celebrate Strativia. Before then, I really tried to work. Although the CEO, I never really tried to take too much of the spotlight, but that night, I got a chance to spotlight myself, my wife, for our accomplishments over 10 years in business.
Mm-hmm. Did your team know who your mom and dad were?
They did that night.
Mm-hmm. How'd they know? How'd they find help?
Because I introduced my parents to everyone.
How'd you introduce them? What do you mean?
Well, I said, these are my parents. These are the folks who poured into me as a kid, who gave me inspiration and gave me energy to go out and do what I did in terms of starting Strativia.
Did you do that from the microphone?
Yes, I did.
How do you think your parents felt about that?
They were extremely elated.
How do you think it made your team feel?
Well, I think they respected me more to show that I showed honor to whom honor was due.
Give me that again.
My team, I believe they respected me more because I gave honor to whom honor was due.
What's the website address of your organization?
Strativia.com.
How do you spell that?
S like Sam, T like Tom, R like Robert, A like Apple, T like Tom, I like Indigo, V like Victor, I like Indigo, A like Apple.com.
We've been speaking with Ken Kelly, President and CEO of Strativia, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com.
Oh, man. What an interesting.
Starting a business can be tough, but getting the word out about your business through a great website can be even tougher. That's why you need spotonwebsite.com. At spotonwebsite.com, you can register your company's domain name and even build your website overnight. It's fast, easy, and most of all, it's sure to fit your budget. Spotonwebsite.com has a wide range of internet products and solutions to make the most of your website, even on a small business budget. Log on today and see for yourself at spotonwebsite.com.
I live alone and rarely have visitors. So when I slipped and fell in the kitchen last month and couldn't get to a phone, I knew I was in trouble.
Help!
I could barely move.
Help!
I tried calling for help, but no one could hear me. As I lay there, I couldn't help but think of my kids and grandkids having to go on without me. I was terrified. It took 8 hours for my neighbor to find me. It could have been the end of me. That's when I knew I needed Life Alert. With just one press of this button, I'm connected to the Life Alert Center, where I can get the help I need, even when I cannot reach a phone. With Life Alert, I'm never alone.
Call 1-800-414-1958 for your free Life Alert brochure. That's 1-800-414-1958. 1-800-414-1958. Call for your free Life Alert brochure today at 1-800-414-1958.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp. Get started with your idea. Call for free information.
Call 1-800-607-8945. That's 1-800-607-8945.
Are you ready to leave your corporate job behind and be your own boss? Have you ever dreamed of owning a business? Do you have $50,000 or more sitting around in a 401k? If you answered yes, it's time to invest in yourself by buying or starting a business or franchise. IRS code allows you to use money in a 401k to invest in a business with absolutely no penalties or taxes. At Guidant Financial, we've helped more than 11,000 entrepreneurs invest $3 billion in retirement assets into the small businesses and franchises of their dreams. So if you've got $50,000 or more in a 401k and you're looking for a way to start a business, call Guidant Financial now for free information and to learn more. Operators are standing by for your call. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. 800-570-6630. That's 800-570-6630.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-557-6630. 695 immediately. That's 800-557-6095. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books, and unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything: editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-557-6095 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-557-6095. That's 800-557-6095. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-557-6095 for your free author submission kit.
This is an urgent health notice for all residents suffering from back, neck, knee, and wrist pain. You may qualify for a pain-relieving brace at little or no cost to you, but the deadline is fast approaching. Simply call the Health Alert Hotline now.
You heard right. You may qualify for a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace. These items may even be covered by Medicare or your private insurance. The Health Alert Hotline is your brace company. These specialized braces have been tested for pain relief. Call us toll-free right now to determine your eligibility and to learn how to use your private insurance or Medicare to minimize your out-of-pocket cost. Don't wait. If the deadline passes, you may lose your opportunity to get a pain-relieving back, neck, knee, or wrist brace at little or no cost to you.
800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. 800-306-1760. That's 800-306-1760.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohn. We'd like to introduce Kevin McDonald and Tim Kress-Spatz, co-founders of an organization known as KitCheck. What is KitCheck? What are you guys doing?
KitCheck's a software company that helps hospital pharmacies be faster, safer, more efficient with their medications.
Interesting. And that's sort of cool. Les, did you have a question there?
Yeah, I'm just curious. The two of you are partners here. What is it that you guys do different that actually makes it work?
This is Kevin. I'm the CEO of the business, and
I'm Tim. I'm a co-founder. I think Kevin's a little bit more of a business and problem-finding guy. I'm a little bit more of a fixer.
When did that show up for you early on in your youth? 8 to 14.
For me, I was working at a horse racing track and ended up trying to help them get a loyalty program, which became one of the first sort of loyalty programs in the gaming industry.
So you've got a marketing instinct, it sounds like. You're more the business guy in the business, because at the age of 16, working in a horse track, you actually saw an opportunity of creating an internet-based business for them to further capitalize. So you're good at identifying opportunity, it sounds like, Kevin. Am I correct about that?
I think that's right.
Uh-huh. And Tim, let me just take a look here. You're telling us that you're more the techie. Is that true?
Yeah, that's probably right.
Give us an example of how young were you when that was beginning to show up.
I mean, my dad had me on the computer at 2 years old, but I remember for third grade we moved to a new school district that had a computer in each classroom, and very quickly I became the go-to student that all the teachers would bring in to fix the computers.
So what we're picking up is that Kevin was good at identifying opportunity, and you are good at the technology. Whose idea was this?
It was mine. I was having dinner with a friend of my wife.
It figures. It makes sense that you're the guy with the ideas, and Tim's the guy who's the techie on this thing, per se. Kim, what was your question?
You guys are partners now. Would you have been friends growing up?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so. We have sort of similar interests.
What do you mean? Tell us more about that.
Well, we were both computer science majors at Villanova. We both were in the same organizations, and while I was a senior and he was a freshman, we seemed to be in a lot of overlap for people that were 3 years apart.
Matt?
Kevin, it sounds like you're a problem solver, and you also have pretty good organizational skills. What activities were you involved in as a kid that you first saw these traits come out in?
Yeah, I think it really started early, but I was in the band in high school and even before that, and would bring together the pit band and the sort of folks that were doing different instruments during the marching season.
So you were the organizer?
A bit, yes.
Is that part of the role you play nowadays in the business?
It has to be, yeah.
Uh-huh. That's interesting. And Tim, what role do you play in the business, aside from being the technology genius?
Yeah, well, these days I'm working with a lot of our industry partners, trying to help them modernize what they're doing and partner with us in the right ways.
So you're a collaborative kind of guy.
Yeah.
Give us an example of how that was showing up with you 8 to 14 years old.
Oh, boy. Well, I did a lot of music, too, in my background. So it started with...
Uh-huh. And... That's interesting. Who's got the next question here?
Yeah, you mentioned something during the green room about a double bottom line. What's that got to do with running a business?
Well, the great thing about being in healthcare is that you're not only attacking a big market, but you're helping really impact people's lives. I mean, there's a huge amount of waste and a huge amount of safety issues that happen every time you walk in the door of a hospital.
Mm-hmm. Next question. Who's got it?
I'm Tim, I'm wondering, you know, you were fixing computers in third grade. Were you making money then doing that?
Not quite in third grade, but probably in middle school. I think the first freelance job I got was like $50 to go fix somebody's computer at their house, and that just blew my mind.
I think you needed Kevin by his side. He would probably make money earlier. John?
Hey, Kevin, let's move from third grade to college. So you guys went to Villanova. You're a senior. Tim's a freshman. What caused you to befriend a freshman?
Well, I was president of the ACM, which is the Association for Computing Machinery, and you know, one of the more, I guess, senior folks in the computer science department. So bringing in freshmen and getting people involved meant that there was natural crossover there.
Mm-hmm. Julie, you have a question there?
Yeah, so you both have been at your trade for a really long time, since you were kids. So what's newer or bigger or most exciting about the business you're running today?
I think there's a lot of interesting things that are happening. We have such an ability to make a great deal of change in the hospital. I mean, right now, if you walk into a hospital that's not using our system, you have a 1 in 5 chance that there's an expired med coming to you if you're going in for surgery. And being able to fix these kinds of problems and reduce the amount of waste makes a huge impact on everyone.
Wait a minute. So you're telling me your system not only minimizes human labor, makes labor more efficient, but it actually reduces mistakes as well?
That's right. There's a huge safety component to it, being able to make sure that the right drugs are in the right place at the right time, and you don't have a lot of excess drugs floating around, so wasted money.
How many hospitals are there in this country?
There's almost 6,000.
And how many have adopted this system or system like this?
Just over 400 so far.
No. There's a huge market here, it sounds like. And actually, it sounds like it's in the public's best interest for your system, for this business to succeed.
Absolutely.
Next question. Tim, you have one?
So I understand, though, that you didn't have a lot of experience in the healthcare industry before you jumped into this business.
No, we had almost none. It was pretty comical when we were building and testing the system originally. We were just grabbing stuff out of our medicine cabinets and refrigerators to play around here.
So what made you realize that this was the path to go, this would be a success?
You know, I think it was pretty obvious, the problem, when I was first talking to a friend of my wife who was a pharmacist, to have someone who's so highly trained just picking up vials and manually looking at them, it seemed just blatantly obvious that this was a huge waste. And if we could solve the problem, you know, from an outsider perspective, we thought there was a big opportunity.
How'd you find out that there was an opportunity? I mean, it seemed like there was an opportunity, but wasn't there more to it than what met the eye?
There wasn't, right? So I was able to talk to this friend, mm-hmm. and she was able to describe the process.
Where'd the money come from to start the business?
Originally, it was just bootstrapped between Tim and myself.
Was your venture capital? Did you raise third-party money?
We have since. We've raised $42 million.
You've raised $42 million based on an idea that you started. How old is this business?
We founded the company in 2011. The first hospitals went live in 2012.
So when something's not going quite the plan, you know, according to the projections, you just sweep it under the rug. You don't tell the investors the bad news, do you?
They just always go to plan, right?
Uh-huh. So what do you do when something's not going the right direction?
You have to adjust. And, it can be really tough, because something that you've put a lot of passion into, sometimes you have to change complete course and completely kill something you've been doing.
So your relationship with the investors, is that a relationship that's like straightforward and clean and you guys are on the same page, or is there a lot of disputing and fighting?
I think we've been really fortunate to have a supportive investor base that believes in what we're doing, and it's been helpful that we've been growing very quickly.
Are they
able
to help aside from putting money into the business?
Absolutely. The financial investors help you think about what does the broader market think about a business like ours, and where are the opportunities in our sort of bigger space.
So it sounds to me like you have a really healthy relationship with these investors that are adding value aside from investing dollars. They're helping with the strategy of the business. So they also help with connections?
They do, although I would say more on the strategic partnership side than with customers.
What do you mean strategic partnership? What are you talking about?
So, for example, we work with a lot of drug manufacturers.
Yeah, we're trying to bring drug manufacturers onto our platform, and you know, that involves not just the manufacturers, but the whole supply chain getting that drug to the hospital. And so a number of our investors have been in those businesses before.
Yeah, it makes sense. The secondary market's not too happy about that, but you know, if there's expired drugs on the market, it's a good idea to get them out. Who's got the next question here?
So I'm curious how a band kid ends up at the horse track.
You know, I actually just walked in. I heard they paid well, and I walked into an interview, and they needed someone that could create some web pages, and I said, sure, I can do this.
How old were you?
I was 16.
Had you ever done it before?
I had written web pages.
So what happened with that?
Well, what ended up happening is we started with direct mailing lists and just trying to get people to come to the track through different sort of targeted marketing. And then we realized that we wanted to create some sort of loyalty. So I went and wrote a system that you got a card and you got points for every dollar you bet at the track.
Whose idea was it to create that loyalty program?
It was the head of marketing, but I was the person that ended up implementing it.
What did you think of the idea when he mentioned it to you?
I thought it was a pretty amazing idea because you thought about frequent flyer systems and applying that to what we were doing.
So you're a 16-year-old kid, and somebody mentioned an idea, and you implicitly thought it was a good idea.
I thought it was a fantastic idea.
And because you knew a frequent flyer program, so you're able to associate one thing with another.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. That's probably what you did in starting your business, didn't you?
Absolutely. I'd been working with some of the underlying technology for years, and when the pharmacist started talking about this process, it was just an immediate light bulb of this is the right application for this particular technology.
Mm-hmm. Julie, you have a question there?
Yeah, you said an astonishing number that 20% of people in the hospital are either getting an expired or wrong medication. So what have you heard from the hospitals that have implemented it in terms of patient safety or anecdotes or statistically how it's changed their world?
On average, we're able to completely eliminate expired and recalled drugs, and we're able to reduce the amount of drugs that are expiring in these procedural areas by 80 or 90%, but they don't get to patients. So
what's the website address for this organization known as KitCheck?
KitCheck.com, KITCheck.com.
We've been speaking with Kevin McDonald and Tim Kress-Spatz, co-founders of KitCheck, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. We'll be back in a moment right after this break. Yeah. And your name and organization is?
Marcia Call, Talent Front.
And Marcia, what is Talent Front? What do you guys do?
We're an outsourced recruiting company. We work with firms that are growing.
Uh-huh. What do you do for these firms?
We actually take a look at their recruiting from soup to nuts. So we work with them on what their workforce planning is and then take them all the way through getting folks into those seats.
Where are you from originally?
Newcastle, New Hampshire.
And what was the population of that town?
We're an 800-person small town in New England.
What was the effect of that on you?
Well, it's the kind of environment where you know everybody. You know your neighbors, and you are constantly with them. You see them every single day on
the
streets.
What's the downside of that, though?
Well, the downside of that is that you really, everything comes to the fore. So people know you really well, and that's both an asset and a negative piece.
So how's that affecting your building this organization called Talent Front, which helps businesses with their talent?
Well, I would say the key thing that a CEO needs to focus on is culture. And that's one of the great lessons that I learned living in a really tiny town.
What are you talking about? What do you mean?
Well, people can always hire for competencies and the skills that they need in an organization. But in terms of the culture, that is something that you absolutely have to focus on. The fear is that as a CEO, you're going to end up in a company someday that you don't recognize and is possibly not one you want to run.
So you're telling me that the fact that you grew up in a small town and you knew everybody and everybody knew you, you're really sensitive to people because there's no escaping the people. And that's one of the things you're helping your clients do is meet the right people, create the right culture. What's the website address of your organization?
Talentfront.net.
Talentfront.net. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct.
Talentfront.net. We've been speaking with Marcia Call, CEO of Talentfront, here on Executive Leaders Radio.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait.
Call 800-605-5370. 800-605-5370. Call 800-605-5370.
Do you want to fly somewhere? Anywhere in the world? Smart travelers call MyFlightSearch.com for the best deals on flight tickets. Going to Manila, Bangkok, London, how about Singapore? Call MyFlightSearch.com for the lowest flight tickets available. What about a local vacation? Let's say you want to fly to Vegas, Orlando, Miami, Los Angeles, or Denver. Pick up the phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now. We have exclusive deals that you can't find anywhere else. The only way you can get these low airline prices is by calling us. We have so many low prices available, we can't possibly tell them to you right here and now. If you're flying somewhere anytime in the next 6 months and you want the lowest airline ticket prices anywhere, you owe it to yourself to save a ton of money. So pick up your cell phone and call MyFlightSearch.com right now.
Call 800-303-3398. 800-303-3398. That's 800-303-3398. Call now. 800-303-3398.
Biz Talk Radio.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, and we'd like to introduce Joe Linza, founder and president of Linker Technologies. Joe, what is Linker Technologies?
Linker is an environmental consulting and contracting company.
Interesting. And where are you from originally?
I'm from right here in Vienna, Virginia.
How many brothers and sisters?
I have a brother and a sister.
All right. You're the oldest of three, if I remember correctly.
I'm the oldest of three, yep.
And something was going on with your dad when you were about 3 years old. What was going on?
Yeah, he had a medical condition that left him completely paralyzed when I was 3 years old.
Mm-hmm. How'd that affect you?
Well, I watched him battle back. I learned that, you had to battle back. You had to have, heart, and you had to keep working.
Mr. Hillen, did you have a question there?
What sort of activities were you involved in, Joe, when you were growing up?
Well, I love sports. Any kind of sports, playing sports out in the neighborhood, playing sports in leagues, anything.
So what kind of sports?
Well, I was a soccer player for most of my childhood and teenage years, and I also played football and wrestling.
Okay. That's not the sort of background we usually associate with someone who ends up running an innovative science and environmental firm. Where did that part of your personality come from when you were a kid? How young were you when you realized that you might be into that part of the world?
Well, I can tell you exactly. I was a seventh grade winner of a science contest, a science fair at school, and it had to do with water and the effect of rain and snow on pollution.
Why did you win?
I think I just approached that question in a different way than most other kids did.
Do you do that in your firm now?
Yes, we have to.
Why is that?
Well, we are spread out, for one thing, and we have clients that range all the way from mm-hmm. Massachusetts to the
cool.
Pacific.
Mr. Shuhart?
Yeah, before the show you mentioned or you gave us a quote about wrestling. What was that?
Well, all wrestlers know bitter defeats, all wrestlers, and some know victory. Mm-hmm. And the idea is you have to keep going through all the defeats and setbacks.
How does that show up today at Linker Technologies?
So we have our share of defeats, and we keep going. We have to be adaptable.
You had mentioned that one of your grandfathers was a coal miner. What was his effect on you?
He was a coal miner, had suffered injuries and black lung, and kept going. And one doctor told him he didn't need pills or a cane. He just needed to exercise, and he walked 10 miles a day until he was 92 years old.
Uh-huh. How do you know that his doctor told him that?
Because my grandfather told me.
Mm-hmm. And what was your other grandfather's effect on you?
My other grandfather was a mom-and-pop store and gas station owner in coal country, and he taught me, put the spark of entrepreneurialism.
How young were you when that happened?
I remember exactly. I was 9 years old.
And what happened?
There was a King Coal Festival parade.
Mm-hmm. And what happened?
My grandfather asked me to sell Cokes out front of his store.
Got you. Jen?
Tell us a little bit about what your mom did, and what did she do that helps you now?
Well, both of my parents were products of the Depression, and they learned how to work hard and save and keep together.
Interesting. Julie?
It sounds to me like you had to adapt when your dad was paralyzed. How does that help you to approach change in business?
So one thing was, what I learned was, you had to have perseverance, and you had to have a positive effect on people no matter what your circumstances were. And that is my goal as a founder and a CEO, is to instill that culture of having positive effects on our staff.
Jen? So what has been your most difficult challenge to date? You grew up around lots of challenges with your dad and with your grandfather. What has been your biggest challenge so far?
I think my biggest challenge has been where to put focus. And so when you have a lot of interest, it takes a while to find that focus. And I've found it right now.
What do you mean you found it right now?
Well, I have it right now. I guess I should say, when I founded the company 10 years ago, it was a culmination of something that I'd always wanted to do.
Mm-hmm. And when you say you've got it right now, what do you mean?
Well, I feel like I am in the perfect position for me. With sports, I had learned teamwork, always loved sports, always loved the teamwork. I'm a coach for soccer, have been for many years, and I view myself more as a coach than a manager.
How large or small is this company?
We're about 240 people.
Could you financially retire if you wanted to?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Why don't you?
I love what I'm doing. And like I said, our culture, which we have to instill because we're so spread out, it's my job to instill the culture and to hire our leaders, our other leadership team.
Wait. So you financially could retire, but you would prefer to go to work every day?
Yes.
Why?
Well, I feel like I'm having a positive effect on our 220 staff and our customers.
Joe, this point you made about establishing the culture rather than just having your head buried in your balance sheet. Of all these role models from your childhood, two iconic grandfathers, your mother, your father, coaches, teachers, who taught you this thing about culture and leading culture?
Culture, I think, I would probably say from my mother, the way she treats people and was just kind of the salt of the earth, and the golden rule, treat people like you want to be treated.
Jen?
What's one takeaway that you got from your childhood that you try to teach your children now?
So I definitely teach them honesty and integrity, and I think that has rolled into their lives to the top degree that it could. Some are, adults. Some are students, and some are still in high school.
And then, how does that play into your company?
Well, we will make mistakes. Our people will make mistakes. I make mistakes. We can roll through that. The only thing I will not stand for, and we'll get rid of people. Mm-hmm. In our company if they don't have integrity and honesty.
What's the website address for this organization?
LinkerTech.com.
How do you spell that?
LynkerTech.com.
We've been speaking with Joe Linza, founder and president of Linker Technologies, here on Executive Leaders Radio. I'd like to thank my co-host, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Companies, Jennifer Wappas, Pagnotto Carr, Peg McDermott, Kogo Interactive, Julie Matt Cressa, John Hill and George Mason University, and John Chouard, Graybeard Coaching, for giving me hand structuring the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. John, can you give us a rundown on who we've had the opportunity to hang out with today?
Yeah, our first guest was Christopher Attes, CEO of Scribe. Then we talked to Chris Yoko, president of Yoko CO. Our third guest was Chris Vinetti, president of Higher Strategy. And our last guest was Joe Linza, founder and president of Linker Technologies.
Excellent. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, that's executiveleadersradio.com. To learn more about our executive leaders, again, thank you for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed the show and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. Biz Talk Radio.